Today's daf is daf Kuf Gimel, talking to you on the road at the moment in Wycliffe, Ohio, in the 18th century. And just in case, as I don't remember 7 years ago where we had stopped on Kuf Beis, or just in case, let us begin on Kuf Beis on the base, quarter of the way up, Bo'umi Ne'im Rav Yonah. So, Cheromer Natati U'Maskeromer Lo Natalti. How about if there's an argument between the renter and the owner as to whether the rent had been paid? The renter says, I paid it all up. And the owner says, I never got anything from you. Now, Mila Viraya, who has got to prove it? Has the Gemara, well, first let's determine when the argument takes place. Emet. Ibetov Zemano, if we're talking about that it was in the middle of the year, so that actually you're paying up, according to this, if you claim you paid up, you're paying up before the funds were actually due, because in the absence of any other agreement, the din is that Schirut is Mishtalemet Besof, which means you should be paying it only at the end of the time. So when? If it was Betov Zemano, that is clearly stated in the Mishnah, that the renter is not believed to say that he paid up earlier than he needed to pay up. Tanina, as we're going to see. The Iliacher Zmano, if it's talking about after the year was over, it's also a Feresha Mishnah. Now, what is the Mishnah? And it's not. When it comes to Pidyon HaBen, the question is, if a father dies without doing Pidyon HaBen, then, of course, that Ben, when he gets old enough, is Muchuyav to be Poda himself. Now, the question is, can he assume that he was Padui by his father? And here the halacha is like this, says the Mishnah. If the father dies before the Pidyon HaBen was due, so that the Metav B'Tok Shloshim Yom, during the 30 days of the birth, and therefore normally he wouldn't have paid up the pinyon, so then Becheskat Shelo Nivda, we have to assume that he was not Padui, and the son is going to have to pay for his own pinyon. But if it was Liacher Shloshim Yom, unless, of course, Achiyavi Rayesh Nivda, unless he can prove that he was Padui. On the other hand, if the father dies then we will assume that it's Becheskat Shenivda Achiyom Rulo, until the neighbors tell him that, no, we know for a fact that he wasn't Padui, because on his deathbed your father said that we should know that he was not able to be Padui his son before he died, and he wants his son to be aware of that. And so now, obviously, there's no one else who can really say anything, because there's no Kohen, as Rashi points out, who could actually be Tovea, because you can give any Kohen. So in this case, it's not a question of bringing a Raya in a moment of sense, it's a question of his finding out the fact. But in any event, we do see from there that the assumption is that a person does not pay a debt before it's due. Says the Gemara, well, the case over here is Latzricha B'Yumin HaBishlam Zimne. Here it's talking about, it's on the day that it was due. So it was the last day of the year, the day in which the Schirut is Mishtalemet. The question is whether, when the Socher says, well, I paid it in the morning, do we say Mi'avadin Shtapar B'Yumin HaBishlam Zimne? Do people pay up on that day? Is that a norm assumption? Olo, do we say that once the day is over, now the money is owed, that's when they pay it up? Omalo Rabbi Yochanan, Tiritua. That din is also clear from the Mishnah. It says, Sakhir Bizmano, a Sakhir on the day, that Sakhir means a hired hand, on the day that he finishes his work, he says he didn't get any pay. The owner, on the other hand, claims he paid him the whole thing. We have a special takona in that case, that a worker can be Nishbav in hotel. And as we'll see, the reason for this takona is, even though normally, and certainly Midiraita, there's no such thing as somebody baiting a shvu and forcing somebody else to pay them. However, in this case, because of the fact that an owner, landowner, oftentimes it's a lot of people working for him. He gets confused. He'll pay money maybe to 15 people that morning, and he, in his memory, remembers paying up this guy. To this guy, that money is his life. And therefore, the Chachomi made a takoni. He doesn't have to sit there begging and proving. He can take a shvu and force the other guy to pay him. So this is one of the rare cases where somebody is nishbav in hotel. So you see from here, or Madayit, Sakhir, who derama rabbanan shvu ale, it's only because he's a hired hand. That the Rabbanan said he has to swear, and then we'll believe that he can get that money out of his hand, even though Midiraita he couldn't. But that's Bishum de Balabayat Torud Bipu'alav. It's only because a landowner is busy with the people that are working for him, and therefore he may well assume that he paid this money and never did. Masha Inkin, Avalach, in our case, where we're wondering about a renter, obviously we cannot apply this kind of logic and say that when rent is due, now all you have to do, the other guy could say that, well, you know, I never got it. But rather, the equivalent of the sakhir, which is the socher, of the maskir, rather, or the hirer, in this case, the socher would be mehaman. He could say that I did pay, like the balabait. Because in this case, we don't have that takona. And of course, you would have to make a shvuat hasit. A shvuat hasit is where the chachomim We're mechayev anybody who denies as a kofar kol, and there's no din of shvuah d'oraita. He makes a shvuah d'rabban and go to shvuah tesed. If he had said I paid half of it, then a nochinami would have to take a shvuah d'oraita. Oh my Rav Amar Rav Nachman, I man the ogerle, somebody who rented out a home beit alacha relezushni. This guy shows us a contract that he has rented a house for 10 years. The Katav Lishtar, he writes a contract out, but he does not mention any time about when this began or when it ended. And therefore, they get into an argument about how long is this rental? Because maybe it's already been going on. And the owner says, Al-Marle, he says to him, well, you know, you've already been here for 5 years. So Nakita Chameshnid, so I only owe you this house for another 5 years. Whereas the socher says, no, that's not true. I haven't lived here that long. So in that case, the owner is Meheman, and all he has left is 5 years. Because the din is that karka, of course, is always becheskat the baalim, and if you were to be motzi it, you're going to have to prove it. According to this, and even when you have a shtar, which says that this house was rented in for 10 years, the maskir nonetheless can say that 5 of the 10 years have already passed. So if that's true, osve meya bishtora. Suppose somebody lends out $100 with a shtar, like here, where you rent out a house for 10 years with a shtar. The amarle and the borrower would say, pratich pag, I've already paid half. And the lender says, nonsense. So would you say also that achinami de Behemon? You say that the borrower would be Nehemon on this? And the fact that the other guy has a shtar that says the full amount, that's not going to help him? Because, I mean, over here, the guy's got a shtar for the full amount of 10 years of skirut. And yet you're saying, well, you know, you can always say 5 of them were passed. So the same thing is true. I've got a shtar for $10,000. I could always say, yeah, but, you know, 5,000 of it was already paid. Omale, so Ravina said to him, oh, please, don't make stupid comparisons. Achiyashta. There's no comparison at all. Hata, where you're talking about a loan. The shtar is the instrument by which you collect the loan. So it's the guvayna koi. It's meant to be collected. Therefore, im ita the pare, if it had been paid in part, iboile le mikhtava agabe, it should be written on the shtar side that it was partially paid. Inami mikhtava le tavra, or there should be a receipt that he's able to show that it was paid. Obviously, in that case, the shtar itself prevents any taina against it. In this case, the shtar doesn't prevent anything, because aval hacha, in the case of the rental of a house, where he says, well, it says 10 years, and it doesn't say how much has passed, in this case, amarle, nonetheless, the owner says to the renter, the only reason that the shtar was written was not in order that you should be able to collect now the house from me for 10 years. I wrote it for my purposes to protect me. We don't want you to come along claiming after 3 years that you already bought this house from me and that you never bothered to keep the contract after 3 years, which is the halacha. And that for Haraya, the owner never protested. Well, obviously I didn't protest because I'm renting it to you. Oh yeah, you say. Prove that you're renting it. So because of that, I wrote out the shtar. But the shtar is not meant to be a collection shtar. And therefore, there's no reason for it to have had on it, and we're off of it as a receipt, the number of years that it's already been due. Omrim Nachman Shoel Adam Metuvo La'ola. A person who borrows something from a friend, and he says, lend me this kli, as long as it's good. So then, in other words, if that's the case, basically he's saying, I want to keep it as long as it's usable. If the guy agrees, then even if the borrower gave it back, he can come back the next day and say, I need it again. And there'd be nothing that you could do, because you already give it into his rishus as a shoel. Omer of Mori, brother bat Shmuel, this is only if, with economy net, if this is a major commitment, therefore it requires a kinyan of the borrower from the owner. He's got to do a kinyan suder at least, because otherwise we do not take this and is anything other than a verbal commitment to do something, which does not really give him any kinyani. Omer of Mori Breda Ravashi Umahad Lekate. In these cases, when the kli is lent to him, so let's say it's a knife, he can use the knife until there's nothing left but the handle. But remember, he lent him a knife, didn't give him a knife, and therefore, when the handle of the knife remains alone, there's no longer anything for him to use, anything that's left of it has to be given back to the original owner. Omar Rava Aiman Yomele Lechavri. If a man says to a friend, lend me Ashlan Mara, lend me this hoe. I need it Lemirpak Pei Hai Pardesa. I need to dig around this orchard of mine. So then he's only given the rights to be Rafik Peahu Pardisa. He only has the rights to use it for the Pardis that he stipulated. But suppose he said a Pardis, Pardisa. Then he could be Rafik Peahu Pardisa the boy. He could use it for any Pardis that he owns, even if it's enormous because it was not defined. If he said Pardise, Beloshon Rabi, many Pardisim, so then he could use it for multiple Pardisim. Kol Pardise de Itle, whatever he owns. And then at the end, Bahadur Le Kate, he gives him back the broken pieces. Omer of Papa, Hai Mandi Omer Le Lechavri Ushol Nahai Garguta. Somebody who says to his friend, lend me this well of water, so that I will use it to water my field. Vinafla, and now the well collapses, and there's no way to draw water from it. The din is that lo bunile, the borrower does not have the right to rebuild it and force the guy to allow him to use it, because the owner can say, look, I lent you that bore as it was, and now that it's collapsed, I have to rebuild it, and I never intended to give you it once it's been repaired. If, however, he said, give me a bor, not this bor, so that he just said garguta, then kori va'ozel kaimi garguti bihari. Then, if he doesn't find any kind of water, he could continue to dig wells, because the man committed himself to a well, ad mitraimili, until he finds a usable well. V'tzorek l'mikni mine, however, this too is talking about, that at the time that he borrowed it, he was kedim with a kinyan sitter, because otherwise, since it's only a verbal agreement, the owner of the land can always change his mind and say, well, I'm not lending you a will. Somebody lends or rents out now a house to a friend, and during the period of the rental, the house collapses, chayav lamid lo bayit, he has to give him another house in its place. Hayakatan, suppose the house that had been rented out was a small house, then lo yaseru gadol, he's not allowed to make it large, unless of course the renter agrees. The renter can say, look, I can't keep it a large house, can't afford the upkeep. So that's fine. Where's the small house that you promised me? And, on the other hand, if it was gadol, lo yaseru katan, you could say, look, I don't want to live in this tiny little hole in the ground. You told me you were going to rent me this house, and this is the kind of house I want. Echad lo yaseru lishlayim, if it was a single house, he cannot split it into two and tell him, well, you could still have it. Lishlayim lo yaseru echad, and if it were two separate units, he can't say, well, you got the same living space. Furthermore, lo yivchot min achalonot v'lo yosif aleihem. He cannot change the architectural drawing of what is in the walls, elamidat shehem, unless both parties are agreed. Look, the Halakha Mishnah, hamaskir bayit lechaviro, v'nafal. Somebody rents out a house to someone, say for a year. During the course of that year, the house collapses. The owner is chayav lamid lo bayit. Since he is committed now to providing him with a house, he'll have to find him another one. Hayakatan, if the house that he had rented out was small, the owner cannot, in rebuilding, make it large. Lo yasenu gadol. If it was large, it was gadol. Lo yasenu katan. I'm going to discuss what precisely the arrangement had been between them. Echad, if the house was originally one, lo yasenu shnayim. He can't divide it into two. For shnayim, lo yasenu echad. He cannot, on the other hand, make it one large house. And furthermore, lo yivchot min achalonot. He cannot have fewer windows in the new house than he had. Velo yosif aleihem. However, he cannot have more windows. Any change would have to be made with the understanding between the two of them. Says the Gemara, Hechidami, what is the case over here? I mean, he told him, I'm renting you out this house. Well, bye-bye house. No follows a lay. It fell. It's gone. Why should he have to give him another house to live in? And Idi Amalei by its stam, if he told him a house, so then why in the world can he not give him whatever kind of house he wants? Echad amai lo yasen ushnayim. Why can't he have it now split into two rooms? And if it's katan amai lo yasen agadol, he never committed to this particular house. He said a house. This is a house. This is a two-room house. Now it's a three-room house. What's the difference? Omerish Lakish, the Mishnah is talking about the Amalei Bayit. Shani maskilach amidat or kokach vikach. It was defined architecturally. This is the house that I'm going to be renting you. So many square feet with such and such windows and so on. Or over there, he didn't say this house. He asked him another house, but it has to be the house that fits the specifications of the rental. Says the Gemara, well, so then that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Then there's no Kiddush in that at all. That's a trivial statement. He didn't say this house. He said a house like this. No. So that's the same thing as specifying the architectural design. So then what's the still? What's the Kiddush? You see, Lotzricha, the Koya Aguda Denahara. There is something that is unique about this house. Let's say it's a house that is standing right at the water bank. So, in which case, I could easily interpret the kazeh to mean a riverfront house. I'm not the term of my kazeh, the Koya Aguda Denahara, with a view to the water. But not that he's telling me exactly this type of house with the same number of rooms and windows, etc., etc. Kamash Malan, that indeed it is viewed as a specification. Hadron Allah Hashoel, Li Nether. Fainton, the Hilik Perek, we are now about to begin a Perek that is dealing no longer with the Arba Shomrim, but rather with the Dinim of Arisut. At least in the beginning, we'll get into the other halachas that are here. There's many other issues that are going to be discussed in this Perek, but it's basically making use of someone else's things with a certain type of agreement, and it will also deal, as was introduced in the end of the previous Perek, with the question of the need to pay someone up on time when he works for you. So now, when someone is mekabel a sada, and kabbalah sasada could be done, where I agree to do work in your field for a certain percentage or for a certain amount every year, so one would be called arisut, one would be called chakirut. Arisut is where you're basically a sharecropper, so you give a percentage. Chakirut is a lease, straight out lease, and you agree to pay an agricultural product whether you manage to produce it or not, and that's to do with how much a percentage it is. So fangtan alek aperek, a mekabel sadem mecha. Someone who now got into an arrangement, whether it was the chakirut or whether it was arisut, the case is defined by the minhag makom. Makom shenago liktzor, yiktzor. If it's lakor, yakor. So if it's a place where the norm is you cut down tvu'ah when it's ready to be harvested and you leave now a certain amount of the stalk in the ground, then that's what you do. If it's a place where the norm is to uproot it, then that's what you do. Laharosh acharav, where the minig is that after you complete the katsira, you run a tractor over it again to now uproot anything that has been left, including weeds, making sure that it's all fresh for planting in the next season. So then that's part of their job. Now obviously the repetition will be addressed in the Gemara. Now, when it comes to the din of an ori, specifically the sharecropper, kishem shechokin betvuah, in the same way that a sharecropping arrangement gives percentages of the actual grain, kachokin betevin, you also take a similar percentage, give it to the owner when it comes to the straw, the kash. Well, you've got the hay as well. So the tevin is the upper part, which comes together with the actual wheat, and that you have to remove the wheat from that part of the stalk. The kash is the part that was cut and was left on the ground. Shem shechokin beyayin, furthermore, in the same way that if the subject here of the arrangement was not a shdei lavan, not a field for grain, but rather a vineyard, in the same way that there's a chalukah on the wine that you're going to produce, so too would there be a percentage that would be given for these murot, which are the actual vines themselves that were cut, and the kanim. The kanim, we're going to see, means that the little sticks that you put in the ground to hold up the vine for the tendrils, that is also split, and they both provide. Ushnehem, both the sharecropper and the owner, misapkim et hakanim. Each year, they both provide the pegs, the sticks that are necessary to maintain the vine. And we will not say that the sharecropper is entirely responsible for that, because all he has to do is the actual work and the protection. Anything else is something that has to be shared together with the owner in the expenses. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in a brisa that mokum shenogu liktzor eino reshei lakor, lakor eino reshei liktzor. Just as we said in the Mishnah, that you cannot change the minhag mokum, shnehem makvim zalze. Here the brisa explains that even though some of these things would appear to be advantageous to one side or the other, either side can be ma'akev the other from doing anything that is different than the norm. So now let's explain it. Let's say Liktsor in a Rishoy Lakor, even though the guy who is the Aris is willing to do the Akira, much more difficult work to uproot than to simply cut down. Why is that? It's because Hai Amar Bina Titvan Liya'ar'e. The owner says, look, I don't want you to uproot. I want to be able to plow under the Tevin because that actually fertilizes the ground and it's good for it. Vahai, and if it's the other way around, then the worker can say, if the Balabayit wants him to do the Akira, he could say, I'm not prepared to do that kind of work. Lo matzina lakor, it's too much work for me, and it's not the minhag ha'makom, and I didn't agree to that. So both of them have a right to demand to maintain the normal minhag. And on the other hand, if it's a makom where the minhag is to do Akira, to uproot, not to cut, and Rishoy Liktsor, even though in a case where the Poel obviously is always interested in just doing the Ktira, it's much easier for him, there the Balakarka could say, Be'ina detina keraroi, I would like to have a completely cleared out field for next year. I don't require the fertilization of the mess that I'm going to have with the straw. Whereas if it's a change in the other direction, I, the worker, can say, I, who am going to be working on this field next year as part of my sharecropping agreement, do require the tevin be'ina tivna. So therefore, either of them can insist that it be done the way of the minhag ha'medina. Shneim akvim zed. Why do I need to say that? Isn't that the point? I mean, if you said you can't change, it means that both of them can say you can't change. So, lamely, why mention this as a separate clause? It's included. Says, well, no. The Braita was not coming to tell me something new. It was explaining. Matam ka'amar. The Braita simply saying, matam, why do we say that liktsor ainu reshoy lakor, lakor ainu reshoy liktsor? It's because there's a basis for each of them to say that I want it to be kimenaga medina. It's not arbitrary. Now, the next thing we learn in the Mishnah is that the makom shenogu l'acharosh acharav, l'acharosh acharav, I mean, isn't it obvious? Pshita. But if that is the way in which agriculture is done, it's no different than anything else. L'tzrich, the chiddush in the Mishnah, is ba'at delo menakshit. Stuck in a place where you don't usually uproot the weeds before doing the harvesting. And there, it's obviously very important to plow under the weeds so that they don't take over the field. This guy goes ahead now, this sharecropper, is Ozo Yuvanachish. He goes to a very great additional trouble of ripping out the weeds earlier on. So, Matatim Armala, you might think that the sharecropper could tell the owner, well, I, the Nakishna, is Adaita the Lokarivnala. The reason I did the weeding early on was because I didn't want to have to do the plowing under afterwards. And I thought that that was understood. Therefore, it tells us, you cannot make an assumption like that if you did something extra. It's on your own until there's an agreement to that effect. The next thing we learned was that Hakol Kiminhag HaMedina, which is coming now to add something, and what is there left to add? Hakol Latuyamai. Latuyah HaDetana Rabban, and it's coming to tell me the following Kiddush in the Bright. Makom Shenahagula Azkir Ilanot Agabe Karka. In a area in which the norm is that when somebody is your sharecropper or a choker on a field, and any trees that are in that field are also considered to be part of that agreement, and therefore the trees that are there are rented out. So then, maskirin, if that's the case, even though he did not specify, it's assumed that they are included in the agreement, and that means that the sharecropper takes part of those crops, even though he doesn't really do very much for them at all now, does he? And nonetheless, they are part of the schirut arrangement. Let's give the sharecropping or the chakirut arrangement. So you might have thought that such things are not included because they're not part of the work at all. Makom she'eino hagin laskir, ein maskirin. Says the Gemara, makom she'nagul haskir, maskirin, it's also pshita. What kind of chiddush is there in that? Ah, lotzrich dekuli yama yave betil tavazilu v'yave bariva. Normally, people will arrange to take a third from the sharecropper. And so that the owner takes a third and the rest goes to the farmer. This guy goes ahead, the owner, and agrees to taking only one quarter, and the other guy gets three quarters. So you might have thought in that case, the reason that I took from you less was because it was with my intent not to give you a share of the fruit that would be produced by these trees. That if that was the arrangement, it needed to be mentioned outright and agreed upon in advance, rather than making assumptions about about the nature of the deal. Now, we said in the Braita that Mokab Shinogu Shalolaskir Ain Maskirin. I mean, isn't that also rather obvious, Pshita? No, says the Gemara, it's the opposite case over here. Lotzir, how about in a case where Kuli Alma, Mekavle Bariva? How about where normally an Aris is generally going to give 25%? And in this case, in this case, he gave him 33 and a third. So that he might be able, you would have thought, to say, the reason that I have given you more than norm is because of Daita the Aftalibi Ilanot. I assumed that you would recognize that you need to give me a piece of the action when it comes to the fruit of the trees also. Again, Kamashmalan, Iboile Lefrushale. Any changes in the deal need to be defined, and we don't say that because you entered into a better deal, that therefore there were other assumptions that were being made that were going to make up for the difference in the price that you're paying or giving. Now, we said in the Mishnah, Keshem Shechoki B'Tvuah, Kachoki B'Tevim Mekash. Omer of Yazid B'Bavel Nagu, I can tell you the Minigat Bavel is the Lo Yaivitiv Den Aris. And no Tevin is given to the Aris, so that after the wheat is removed, everything goes to the owner. Lamay Nafkamina. Who cares what the Minig is? I mean, whatever it is, the Mishnah said, right? Why does he have to tell us what the Minig is in Bavel? Ah, because it's coming to be B'Chavish of Yerika Inish. The Yaiv, if in this place a person does give the tefin, it's an ayin yafuhu for the gabrina mine. You cannot, because somebody was being nice, you cannot say, I know so-and-so did it. That doesn't prove anything. He's defining the minig as he knows it to be in general. Amar Rav Yosef, buchra, v'tifcha, v'akavta. Now, I just want you to know, furthermore, that the first time, what they would do is, three times, they would put a layer of dirt around the edges of the field to mark it off. And they would do this, and then it would settle in, it would trample down, and it would do it again, which was called the tafta. The buchra is the first time, the tafta is the second time, and the arkavta is the third time. So that, at this point, you've got a nice marked out border around the field. And the Kodei Dechizra, these are just simple reeds that one sticks in the ground in order to mark off the field and to make it closed off. So over there, the one who has to pay for that is the Ba'al HaBayit, and not the Ori. The Chizra Gufei comes from the Arisa, and that is what you put onto these Kodei, because afterwards you do some work to get a bush, which is thorny, to grow up around it, and you intertwine the leaves. That is indeed an agricultural job of the artist. Kol the mill to the general rule being that kol ikar bauma, anything which is part of the essential shmira to be bolein people from coming in to the field, that belongs to the balabayit. The tiruta yeterata, that which is done in order to make it more carefully watched so that there would be nobody coming in and stealing stuff that's growing, and so that belongs to the artist, and he's doing that for his own purposes because he would like the field not to demand as much from him so he doesn't feel like sleeping out there at night and watching things and so on. So he puts in more, but that's what he's doing for himself. The Amar of Yosef Mora, Uzvila, and Adavla, and Azarnuka, all of these comes from the Balabayit. And when it comes to the Kelim that are meant to be used, so you're talking about the shovel, the hoe, and the shovels that are used afterwards for picking things up, the Davla, which is a bucket that's used for watering, the zarnuka, that's where you have a little watering can, where there's places where you will walk around and sprinkle. Those things come from the balabayit. That the oris is avibeya ore, where you dig little now branches in the ground to the main water supply, so that everything has its water when you pour it into the main channel. That is done by the oris himself, because that's part of the watering itself. Now, the Mishnah says, Kashem Shecholkim Beyayin, Kacholkim Bezmorot, Bekanim. Now, what exactly are these Kanim? Kanim, Maya Viratai, what are they, how do they fit into this discussion? I mean, they're certainly not part of the vine, are they? I'm the Verabianai, Kanim Amuchlakim, we're talking about pieces of reed that have been stripped here. Shebehem Ma'amidim et Hagifanim, they are put into the ground to support the vine. Ushneyan misapkim et hakanim. These new reeds are paid for each year by both of them. Ask the Gemara Lomali. I mean, I understand that if they're going to be chaylik in the kanim of the old ones, then obviously they must have both provided for the new ones. Ah, no, says Gemara, you misunderstand. This is not a separate thing. The Mishnah was explaining itself. Matam ka'omar. Matam shneyam chokim bekanim. Why do we say that we split the kanim, which is certainly not something that's produced? It's mishum neshneyam misapkim et hakanim. It's because of the fact that both of them are going to pay for it up front and split it. Therefore, when it comes time for the chalukah, they also are going to split whatever is left in value of it.